Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the IRS official who's been before Congress said to that she would claim the Fifth Amendment, plead the Fifth Amendment so as not to incriminate herself. And it's being pointed out that she gave an opening statement, so therefore she waived her Fifth Amendment right. And this is a topic that we've covered on Bob Enyart Live and in our criminal justice seminars. We also have this in our God's Criminal Justice System CD that you can get. It's like being at one of our seminars that we've done all over the country. So we'll talk about that. And in our system, yeah, she waived the right. So you don't get to make your case, but then refuse to answer other questions. That's how our system works. But we show biblically from the Bible, from the scriptures, which should inform our public policy positions, that in fact, there's nothing inherently wrong or immoral in allowing a witness to answer some questions and not answer others. And the judge could then draw whatever inferences are necessary from that. Recall that Jesus Christ himself was on trial, and he answered some questions and refused to answer others. The matter that should be preeminent in this particular subject is that it should be against the law to beat testimony out of someone in a trial trying to get a conviction. That's what should be wrong. And that's the idea of the Fifth Amendment. You can't be forced to testify. And so you should be able to, the court should be able to inquire of any witness. And if that person refuses to answer a question, so be it. If they want to make certain statements, so be it. And I'd like to actually talk more about that. But first, there's been another terrorist attack, an Islamic terrorist attack, a murder in London. And this was earlier today. A man was murdered by guns, not by guns in this instance, right? The way the media reports crimes, and they act as though guns are walking down the street and the guns decide to shoot somebody. So-and-so was killed by a gun, and that's like the headline. Like the gun decided to go out and kill somebody. But this, in this case, it's knife-wielding assailants, but it's not only knife-wielding assailants, as you read this, but this is another Islamic terrorist attack. A man was killed by knife-wielding assailants on a London street earlier today, and a blood-stained suspect at the scene was holding a meat cleaver. So we'd also have to ban meat cleavers, right? Meat cleavers, knives. And he's been captured on video telling passersby, "We swear by the Almighty Allah." Now, this reminds me of the article published in the Huffington Post a few years back by one of our Denver media opponents, Jason Salzman. And Jason Salzman wrote, he was writing against the Tea Party, and he wrote that the 9/11 tragedy, he called it, and a tragedy, tornado in Oklahoma, that's a tragedy. But when you have a terrorist attack that's intentional, you could call it a tragedy, but it's terrorism, right? He doesn't want to call it terrorism. It's mass murder, but he calls it a tragedy. The 9/11 tragedy had nothing to do with religion, but everything to do with criminal mass murderers. Now, isn't that, talk about being in denial, right? And he has this gut reaction, as do liberals generally, to take the side of, to defend the Islamists who would behead him given the opportunity. I mean, given the opportunity, they would cut off his head. Like if they had him in Islamabad or something, and they would take a video, try to put it on YouTube before it would be taken down, of them sawing off his head. They would do that given the opportunity. But he says it had nothing to do with religion. So what then, Jason Salzman, what motivated these terrorists, these murderers, these terrorists in London who stabbed to death and apparently meat cleavered to death a man while screaming Allahu Akbar? What motivates them? Well, Jason Salzman, in his understanding of the world, his insightful commentary, he says it has nothing to do with religion and everything to do with criminal mass murderers. So what? Imagine an Al-Qaeda meeting and they're sitting around discussing their agenda, their plans, their motivations, what drives them. And what does he think? That Osama bin Laden was talking to his henchmen and saying, our goal is to be criminal mass murderers. That's what motivates us. So how can we do that? When the planes were flying into the World Trade Center, what were they shouting? Helter Skelter? What are they thinking about? Charles Manson? Is that what they were? They were screaming, Helter Skelter! Right? That was their goal, to imitate mass murderers? Or was their goal to uphold their version of Islam that says that infidels could be killed? And in fact, if you belong to a country or a religion that's not Islam and that is opposed to some kind of Islamic foreign policy or domestic policy, then you could be a target and you could be killed. Right? Christianity teaches that God sent his son to die for us. Millions, tens of millions of Muslims today, they approve of those who send their sons to kill for Allah. Right? Christianity teaches that God sent his son to die for us. And tens of millions of Muslims today teach that it's good to send your son to kill for Allah and to kill the sons and daughters, even the young children of others, so that you could try to accomplish your political agenda. Right, your foreign policy objectives, that's what defines terrorism, by the way. Oh, and if you're not exactly sure what terrorism is as compared to typical crime, as Jason Salzman clearly struggles with, you could go to our website, kgov.com, and just put /terrorism or /what is terrorism. I'll do it right now. Kgov, not kbov. kgov.com/what is terrorism. And you'll find out exactly, by the way, in a web address, a shortcut like that, if there are words in it, normally you put hyphens between the words. So kgov.com/carbon14, put a hyphen between the carbon and the 14. Just do kgov.com/terrorism. That will get you there. And what is terrorism? And you'll find out that terrorism is crime committed by an individual or group to influence public policy. That's what terrorism is. And Islamic terrorism, then, is to influence public policy in a way consistent with their view of Islamic doctrine, theology. Eyewitnesses said that two attackers were later shot by officers. And the onlookers said that they described the victim as being chopped like a piece of meat. And this is in the name of Allah. And leave our lands. That's the exact motivation of the Boston bombers. They said that they did this and they supported the terrorism of the Osama bin Laden flavor, Palestinian flavor, because America is in Iraq and America's in Afghanistan, and they say that they're their lands, and because we are there, by the way, we've helped stop a lot of Iraqis from being killed by Saddam Hussein, but there are a lot of people who hate George Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. So regardless of Saddam Hussein systematically slaughtering his own people by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, depending on your source, They didn't care. They didn't want America to go and depose Saddam Hussein, to get rid of his regime. And we maintained all along that it was irrelevant as to whether or not he was still producing chemical weapons or trying to make nuclear weapons. That was irrelevant. If the French started to systematically kill their own people, then any nation would be justified in going into Paris. At any rate, and of course that does happen with abortion, the killing of unborn children, which makes the whole states' rights argument, which shows how absurd it is, because human rights trump states' rights, and no state, forget about a state, no country has the authority to decriminalize the murder of the innocent. So it cannot be a states' rights issue. By the way, just go to AmericanRightToLife.org and click on states' rights. It's in the right-hand column. Okay. Nathan Dunlap, the Chuck E. Cheese murderer, has been granted a temporary reprieve by Colorado's Governor John Hickenlooper. And Hickenlooper will answer to Jesus Christ for this and for many other crimes of his own. The Bible says, God says, that it is an abomination both, and he describes two things, to kill someone who should not die and to keep alive someone who should not live. So if you argue against the death penalty, God says that you are profaning him. You're insulting him, you're disobeying him, if God has told us through his word that someone like a convicted murderer should be put to death, and you are therefore nicer than God and you want to overrule God. God doesn't approve of people overruling him. I realize there are not a lot of people who want to be nicer than God. Big mistake. Big mistake. People think, well, as a Christian, you could only err on the one side. You could only err on demanding justice. You can't err on granting mercy. Boy, are they wrong. Boy, are they wrong. How many hundreds of thousands of people have been murdered? How many hundreds of thousands of children have grown up to become murderers? In part because mercy was granted to other murderers. And it looks like, you know what? You could be caught red-handed in a mass murder and for the rest of your life be fed and entertained and kept cool in summer and warm in winter, be educated, medicated, legally represented, play basketball, do whatever, watch cable TV, buy pornography from the prison commissary. I talked to one inmate who was in federal prison for a few years, and he told me how really cushy it was. And his hobby was making jewelry. And so to make jewelry, you need a torch. So he requisitioned a torch. He had money in his account. And the jail turned him down, so he appealed the prison. And he won his appeal, and he actually had an acetylene torch in his cell, next to his color TV with his DVD player. The inmates are running the asylum. That's not just an expression. The inmates are running the asylum. The nation is mentally ill. And this derives not only because we're not evolving to become increasingly fit, we are devolving. And that's not only our physical bodies, it's also our brains, which are the interface to your soul spirit. So that there is more mental illness. There's continued and worsening breakdown of human beings physically and mentally. But it's not that stupid people are more wicked. No, it's sin leads to stupidity. So because of the sin of, for example, the Republican Party or the Democrats or Barack Obama or fill in the blank, because of their sin, because of their commitment to rebel against God, that's why they're as stupid as they are. You could assess Adolf Hitler's, you know, military acumen. And you could look at it and say, well, any moron would see that he's headed to total destruction because he's taking on the whole world at once. Any moron, any fifth grader performing war games could figure that out. Some kid playing Risk on his front porch during summer vacation. If you know that game, Risk, you get all the countries and the armies and whatever, and you roll the dice. Any moron could see he's headed to total destruction. But what, he had an especially low IQ, or he was especially wicked, which makes you especially stupid? And hence, our country is effectively mentally ill. And so Governor John Hickenlooper will stand before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, answering not only for his disobedience in granting this temporary reprieve. Temporary. What, he needs more time? This murder was committed 20 years ago. We were just newly on the air back when these Chuck E. Cheese murders happened. Now, I've never seen those horror movies, Chucky, whatever Chucky is. Was it inspired by this murder? I don't know. I have no idea. But this Nathan Dunlap, he should have been put to death 20 years ago. 20 years ago. What, nobody knew whether he did it or not? The Aurora Theater murderer, the massacre, is a massacre. It's not a tragedy, it's a massacre. It's a mass murder. That, what, we don't know whether he did it or not? Why is he still alive? He should be put to death. So our governor kills unborn children, right? So granting clemency, even though right now it's temporary, but he needs to turn in his man card, right? I hate that expression, but it's got to be said. But he won't put to death this murderer, Nathan Dunlap. And, oh, and the governor of Colorado, by the way, you know, he supports killing babies in the womb, but surely he would not be tolerant of those who want to kill babies out of the womb, right? Like Kermit Gosnell. Well, the governor of Colorado is complicit because, while here on Bob and Yurt Live, we said it, we have said it till we're blue in the face, but, and we haven't said it enough, but we've said it till we're blue in the face, that leaders of society have advocated also the killing of babies after they're born. That's post-birth abortion. And they've made the same arguments. Because you can kill the baby in the womb, of course, you should be able to kill the baby after it's born for any number of weeks or months up to the mom. I wonder if then they'd say their parental rights. What if the dad says no? They'd be in a tizzy over that one, right? So at CU up in Boulder, paid for with our tax dollars, is this Professor Michael Tooley. Now, is he Professor Emeritus? He's still on the website there. He still looks like he's part of the faculty. He's been advocating for, is it going on 40 years now, that we change the law to permit the killing of babies after they're born? And so there's an ad running on other Denver conservative-type radio stations, KNUS and KRKS, and we'll play it for you here right now. But it points out just some of those in positions of respect who advocate killing babies after they're born, like Peter Singer from Princeton University, a so-called an alleged ethics professor who says that even after the baby's born, the baby's not a person. And even at 4 months, the baby, after he's born, the baby's not a person. And so Governor Hickenlooper, why doesn't he call for exposing this disgraceful professor up at CU? Why doesn't he do that? He has time to grant a temporary reprieve to a murderer, an obvious convicted murderer, multiple murders. But surely he wouldn't look the other way when people are advocating killing babies after they're born. Let's hear this spot that's running now. An abortionist has been convicted of murder. Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors closed. But Colorado kills many kids from conception through late term. Like Brady Surovic, killed by a drunk driver, these kids are persons. Yet listen to Princeton University's Peter Singer.
No, I don't think it's problematic to say the four-month-old baby is not actually a person. I think that's simply true.
This is widespread and even taints the White House. It's up to us to stop this taking of innocent life. The University of Colorado's Michael Tooley advocates both abortion and infanticide. Discover magazine defends the evolution of infanticide. The New York Times published a call to kill newborns. So did the Journal of Medical Ethics. It's up to us to stop the horror. Sign the Pro-Life Brady Amendment. It's urgent. Call any Colorado personhood group to get a petition. Or just go to avoiceforbrady.com. That's avoiceforbrady.com. C. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan, said opposing Roe v. Wade in the effort to normalize the killing of babies in the womb, he said, if we allow the killing of babies in the womb, of course, there will be more babies killed out of the womb, of course. And that's another example of the insanity of the arguments of the abortion lobby, Planned Parenthood and all, is that they say, well, we need abortion to reduce child abuse. And we say, okay, now let's understand this. You're saying we got to kill the baby to make sure the baby doesn't get abused. Okay, so that's, I mean, that would work generally, right? You want to reduce crime against women? Kill all the women. Kill them all. That'll probably be on the Huffington Post, that quote right there. Bob Enyart argues for killing all the women in what? The world. If you kill all the women in the world, then you're going to lower crime against women. Be zero the next year. Take it right down to zero. It's like the evolutionists. They think that if you have a disease, that's an example of evolution. Like, let's say all your teeth fall out. And so then you have zero cavities the next year. They look at this. This is proof of evolution. This species here, they now have zero cavities. Well, all their teeth fell out. They don't have teeth anymore. So if you have a deformity and you're born without feet, then you're not going to get plantar fasciitis, are you? And the evolutionists point at things like that, and they say, look, that's evolution in action. See? Survival of the fittest. Now you can't. And they say these things with a straight face. So if you kill the baby in the womb, they say, therefore, then there's going to be less child abuse. And we look at them as though they're mentally ill, but it's not that. It's sin. It's wickedness. It's rebellion. And so, of course, we start killing babies in the womb, and we have this increasing epidemic of infanticide, people in positions of authority arguing for infanticide. Child abuse, it all skyrockets when you devalue human life and you say, well, Planned Parenthood, we love them. They rip babies' arms and legs off, but it must be good to do that. Must be good. And we have professors at MIT and Princeton and the University of Colorado in Boulder who openly advocate for the right to kill babies after they're born, post-birth abortion. And, well, we can't criticize them. That would be like criticizing free speech. So, oh, by the way, I do want to compliment Glenn Beck because I often criticize him. He just, with the Kermit Gosnell thing, he's figuring out how wicked abortion is, which is good. But I criticize him because, you know, his moral authority, the Mormon Church, has five exceptions for when you could kill unborn children, five different reasons they say it's okay to kill them. And if he won't see the error in that, and if he won't criticize that, what makes him think that liberals are not going to have more exceptions, right? And more exceptions. So National Right to Life, they have their exceptions. Republican Party, they have their exceptions. The Mormon Church, they have their five exceptions. And so what makes them think that the culture at large or the judges or politicians are not going to have even more exceptions? If it's okay to kill some Jews or to lynch some blacks, what makes them think that others are not going to want to kill even more Jews? So anyway, Glenn Beck, I criticize him for that and other substantive reasons. Just go to prolifeprofiles.com/Mormon Church. Put a hyphen between, remember? Mormon hyphen church. Or prolifeprofiles.com/LDS. That'll get you there. But I want to compliment him for his disaster relief. And it is a disaster, right? And it is a tragedy when there's terrible tornadoes like in Oklahoma. So I want to compliment him like he did with Hurricane Sandy and now in Oklahoma, bringing tractor trailer trucks of immediate aid to the people who need it and the kind of aid they need immediately. Isn't that great? Very different from the United Way. And I mean, there's some good that's done, but the United Way kills kids, and March of Dimes advocates aborting babies with, you know, handicaps. So you got to be careful who you give your money to. But good for Glenn Beck for getting aid to the people who need it right away in a big way. Good for him for that. But bad for CNN's Wolf Blitzer. You know, CNN sent Wolf Blitzer, and he was talking to a woman who had recovered her 19-month-old son. And he said to her, he asked her, "Did you thank the Lord?" Now, is that the kind of question Wolf Blitzer would normally ask? Did you thank the Lord? Now, he was in the Bible Belt, so he wanted to be able to mock Christians by saying, "Did you thank the Lord?" And she would answer, "Oh, we thank the Lord." Then they'd roll tape of the elementary school where seven children died and said, "Well, there was nobody there to take care of these kids. They died." Right? That was his goal, to mock Christians. But it turned out she said, "Well, actually, I'm an atheist." So that sort of backfired for him and caught him off guard. And he rolled with it, of course. But we Christians, we have a hard enough time interpreting the Bible. We shouldn't try to interpret earthquakes, fires, tornadoes. Big mistake.